at the well this morning. The Lord will help me for a little while. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. And Lord, you know my frailty. You know, Father, my wrestling and my struggle. And Lord, if I missed you, I pray some way. I don't even know if you can, but some way. I don't know if you can honor missing your will, but if you can, would you please take your word and do with it this morning what needs doing, if I indeed have. Father, I pray that you would just touch me and help me to have liberty. And Father, not so much what my notes and my thoughts that I've penned down, but Lord, I want to say what you want said. And I ask you to open hearts this morning. And Lord, if there's one here that's never been saved, I pray you'd speak to their heart and do in their life what needs doing. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. Take away all hindrances. I know if there's somebody that needs to be saved, the devil will try to hinder, Father. I pray you move those hindrances out of the way. You get all the glory. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we've talked about Nicodemus, and now we're going to talk about the Samaritan woman. Just a few contrasts, just to get your mind thinking a little bit. Nicodemus was a Jew. She a Samaritan. He a man. She a woman. Nicodemus was socially accepted. This woman was a social reject. She was a Samaritan. They were looked down upon. We'll see that in the text. Nicodemus came to Jesus, but Jesus went to the woman. Nicodemus was named. She was unnamed. Nicodemus had a moral code he lived by, but she was immoral. He called Jesus a teacher. She called him a prophet. He came by night. She came by day. He came privately. Jesus met her public at a public place at the well. And so there are some contrasts there. And there's some similarities. Both needy. Both needy. If you hadn't dealt with the sin issue in your life, you stand in need. You stand in need, desperate need. They both were dealt with individually. They both were dealt with individually. I'll tell you how sinners will be saved. That'll be one soul at a time. One at a time. They both struggled with the physical. Jesus spoke of the birth, and Nicodemus tried to relate that physically. Can a man enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? And he spoke of this living water to the woman, and she wanted that water so she wouldn't have to come back to the well again. And so they both struggled tying the physical and the spiritual together. But Christ was the answer for both of them. And he is the answer this morning. And so I want to try to preach to you a little bit. And I think what I need to do, here's where I've come to in my life. When I'm preaching on salvation, I want to be slow and methodical as I can be. I know sometimes I lose that, but I see from this text that one of the key problems with sinners being saved many times is a lack of understanding. They just don't understand. They don't understand. He didn't understand the new birth. She didn't understand this thing of living water. And I wonder sometimes maybe if sinners just can't get a hold to the... We use phrases like saved, saved, saved from what? What do you mean saved? Why do I need to be saved? I'm safe. I'm, I, I, I don't need to be saved from anything. Well, you need to be saved from your sins and the penalty of your sins. And so maybe there's some things there. Let's start. I just want to go a verse at a time. Maybe the Lord will use this some way to speak to your heart if you're here and lost. Here's a sad thing. I've been here in July, be 25 years that I have been at this little church, and without a doubt, there has been people sat on the pews, listen to the singing, listen to the preaching, and they're in hell today. Now, really, if narrow's the way and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow's the way that leads to life, you'd have to agree that's probably a reality. Now, just think about that. And you have to ask yourself this question. Is there someone sitting on the pew today that will hear the preaching, have an opportunity to be saved, but they'll go to hell? Now, that's a possibility. If you're here and lost, you're going to have a choice. And to me, that's tragic. That's tragic. I don't know. I guess the preacher could take some of the blame. I guess the whoever might be hindering the Holy Spirit could take some of the blame. But really, the sinner, if you're here, you can be saved from a devil's hell if you choose to today. That's right. Well, we're going to look at chapter 4. Here is a woman. And really, I'll just sit here and talk if I'm not careful and not cover the text. Here is a woman. Here's what we learn from chapter 4, that your sin record is not a problem for Jesus. Now, you may be here and you may say, I'm a vile, wretched sinner, and the devil may be telling you this, that the Lord won't save you, but he's lying to you. Your sin problem, your sin record, your past sins is not a problem for Jesus. You need to get a hold to that, because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a woman who was shacked up. That's the phrase we would use today. That's the worldly term that we use when two people are living in fornication under the same roof and not married. We call that just a common phrase of shacking up. And I want to say it's accepted in our world today and approved in our world today, but it's still sin in the eyes of God. It's sin. And if you are shacking up or have been, you have been a fornicator. And if you're still doing, young folk, listen to me. If you decide to go that route, you'll be a fornicator. That's right. You'll be living in sin, unapproved and frowned upon by God himself. And you will reap what you sow. Well, let's read. Just let me read the text. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. I begin to think about that. Let me just throw this out before we get started. A lot of folks think that's because Galilee was in the north and Judea was in the south, And Samaria was in between. And to get from Galilee to Judea, you had to go through Samaria. But most Jews would cross the Jordan River and go down that side and come back in, because they did not want to be defiled by the by interaction with the Samaritans. So it really wasn't a geographical concern that he had. But when we look at this, we know this much, that he saw that there was a woman there that needed saving. Now here's what I would really like to run a rabbit and share with you all the must in Jesus' life. It started when he's 12 years old. I must be about my father's business. And we could go through. He lived, by the way, he lived a planned and a scheduled life. If you're going to accomplish anything for God, you'll find out you're going to have to do some of those same things. That has nothing to do with what we're preaching. The true reason that he must needs go through Samaria, the primary reason, is because he knew there was a sinner there that needed saving. Now let me just stop and say this. If you're here and you're a sinner, maybe one of you van riders, maybe one of our church kids who has been deceived into thinking they're saved, maybe an adult, maybe it could be anybody. If you're here and you're unsaved, the Lord knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows if you're a sinner. He knows if you're a hypocrite, playing a part, playing a role. He knows that. He is aware of that. And can I say, and I'm going to get to it, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, he knew all about her. He knew what sins she had committed in the past. He knew what sins she was committing in the present. He knew when she would arrive at the well. Y'all do believe that, don't you? I do. I'm convinced he knew the time. He knew where she'd be at the sixth hour. He knew. And he got there ahead of time. I do believe this. When I got saved, I believe the Lord was waiting on me when I got to the church house. I know that I don't have any Bible for that. But just like this woman at the well, I believe Jesus was waiting on her. I believe he's waiting on me. It may be today that the Lord is waiting on you, was waiting on you to show up this morning. It very well could be. I don't even know who I'm preaching to. I'm just trying to preach what I think the Lord put on my heart a few weeks ago. And so I want you to understand this. Whoever you are, whatever state you're in, whatever sin you've been committing, whether you're saved or lost, the Lord knows about it. He knows your spiritual condition right now. He knows if you're cold, lukewarm, whether you're just come to church because you had to and can't wait to get out. He knows all those things. He knows everything about you. And you need to get a hold to that. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. And you can fool this congregation, but you can't fool him. And so here he is, and the reason he needed to go through Samaria, he knew this lady was there. And so then the Bible says in verse 5, then came he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. We see the humanity of Jesus. Jesus, one of the difficulties in preaching about the Lord is he was both human and he was God. He was both deity and he was both man. And one of the things is that you cannot put together many times, it's hard to interlace those two and not get sideways one way or the other. The fact of the matter was he had to sleep on the ship, but yet he stood up and said, peace be still, and the storm ceased. But he was a man that he had to have sleep. Here he is, he can give the water of life freely, but here he is needing a drink of water and weary with his journey. And my, we see that, and I guess the great truth for you and I is, Jesus, wherever you're at, Jesus knows what it's like. He's a high priest, I'm going to put it in the positive, he's a high priest that can be touched with the infirmities of our flesh. Hey, he knows what it's like for you to be tempted. He never failed, but he knows what temptation is. And he knows what you struggle with in the flesh because he was flesh. And so that ought to help you to know. It allows him, I think, it allows him to show mercy and be what he wants to be to you and I. And so the Bible says, let me try to get where we need to get to. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and is about the sixth hour. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now here's the truth we get from verse 7. Jesus always makes the first move. I don't care. I know you think Nicodemus came to Jesus first. I promise you there's something working in his heart before he came to Jesus. Jesus always makes the first move. Here is a woman, a sinner woman, a vile, wretched, looked down upon by society. Maybe that's why she was there at the noon hour. If you look in the book of Genesis, the women usually came in the evening to the well, but this woman came at the noon hour, the hottest part of the day she came. Many writers think the reason she did that was to escape the other women who would be coming to the well, because she was looked down upon, would have been sneered at or belittled or whatever word I need to use there. And so here she is. She comes to the well to stay away from people. And here is Jesus. And he says this to her, give me to drink. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now she came from the city, and they were gone into the city, and so more than likely there was a particular road leading into the city, and most likely the disciples passed her as they went into the city. Would that make sense to you? And so here they are, the disciples who are close to Jesus and who should care about sinners, and they pass up an opportunity to witness to this lady, maybe because of their prejudice, maybe because of racism in their life, whatever, maybe because of busyness. Maybe they were too busy. There's a great lesson and a place to preach there to say to you and I, if we're not careful, we'll walk by opportunities that could result in the salvation of souls. I mean, you know this. You've heard these truths time and time again. And so here's the disciples. They miss out. But Jesus, he's weary. He could have been too tired to have fooled with her. He could have just went his way. But he knew this lady needed something in her life. Here she's had five husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband. And my, I've thought about who she was. Wonder if she truly was seeking for love. I wonder if she really, at some point, you know, through all of that, she's had to have gotten hardened. But you just can't help but wonder, maybe at one time she seriously was just wanting somebody to care about her. Maybe she's like a lot of these girls around here. She just wanted a husband and a family and just a good life to live. I mean, I've thought about it so much. I don't know what kind of lady she was, but I know for whatever reason she started down a road of sin. She's divorced. And by the way, if somebody goes through five divorces, it makes you think it may not have been the husband. It may have been a problem with her some way or another. You suspect that. And so here it is. We don't know. We really don't know much about her background other than her marital situation and where she's living now. But she's looked down upon. She's scorned. Nobody feels good about associating, talking with her except others like her. And so here she is, and Jesus says to her, give me a drink. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he cares about sinners? Oh, I'm glad the Lord cares about sinners today. If you're here lost, can I tell you, I care, but I don't care anything like the Lord cares. Ain't nobody cares about you, sinner, like Jesus cares about you. That's right. Here's this woman, the disciples didn't even care about her. It doesn't appear, and maybe nobody else, but Jesus did. That's the kind of Savior we have, sinner. That's the kind of Savior that's seeking after you and wants to save you. He cares about you. He loves you. Oh, that's why he speaks to your heart from time to time and tries to woo you to him. Why? Because he loves you. You say, what does he love about me? He has nothing to love about you. He just loves you because of who he is and not because of who you are. Amen. Well, let me see if I can get settled down. That touches me. Nobody wanted nothing to do with her, but Jesus did. What a Savior we have. What a Savior. Well, let me read on here a little bit. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest the drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she refers to him as a Jew. And she asked that question, why are you fooling with me? I wondered if maybe she thought he was just like other men. He was trying to engage in conversation for his advantage over her. She don't know who he is. Sinner, if you're here, you really don't know who the Savior is. I wish I could show you how good Jesus was. They sing this song, he's more than anybody ever told me about him. Can I say that's so today? I could start talking about Jesus. Sinner, I could start telling you about Jesus all morning and talk up past lunch and maybe even up to the evening service, and I wouldn't even scratch the surface of how good he is. I wouldn't even have the words. I'd run out of words before then. But the fact of the matter is, he's more than anybody can tell you about. If you ever meet him, it'll be the greatest meeting you've ever encountered. And so here she is. She don't know who he is. And maybe she thinks he's wanting to take advantage of her. And so she says to him, how is it that you ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so now they're in conversation. Notice the word in verse 9, how. How is it that thou? That's the same words Nicodemus used. She's in the same thing. She's confused. She can't understand it. Sister, you may be here and you can't understand it. My hope I can just explain just a little bit at the end. Tell you a little something about why he was asking a drink. He was asking a drink to engage her in conversation so he could tell her about himself. You see, if you're ever going to escape hell, you're going to have to meet Jesus. And let me just go on. I'm not careful. I'll get sideways. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. I want you to notice two words in this text. If thou knewest the gift. See the word gift? And then it goes on at the end of the verse, and he would have given thee living water. Look in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, sinner, I want to say this to you. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Salvation is a free gift. Now, here's what so many people, religious people, can't figure this out. They think they have to work salvation out. You can't work it out. There's none righteous. God demands perfect righteousness. We can't generate perfect righteousness. And so salvation, I know these are little ABC first grade truths for most of you all, but the fact of the matter is, it's not what you do. Listen to me, sinner. It's not what you do. It's what Jesus has done on Calvary. And in the garden when he rose again, was buried the third day, rose again. Here is this woman, and Jesus said, if you knew, let me read it to you again. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now she said two things. If you knew who I am and what I can give you, you would have asked, and I would have given it to you. Sinner, that's about how simple it is. That's about how simple it is. And let me say this today. If you're here and lost, and there's something on the inside that's saying you need to be saved, can I tell you, that's not the devil. The devil's not going to tell you need to be saved. That's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with your heart. Listen to me. If there's something, let me say that again. If there's something inside of you and it's telling you need to be saved, you need to ask God to save you, you're going to hell, I don't know what he might be saying to you, but if it's wooing you towards salvation and towards Jesus, that's God and not the devil trying to deceive you. That's God trying to speak to you. The devil will never woo you towards the Savior. He just won't do that. And so Jesus said to her, he said, if you knew the gift, what is the gift? I thought about the gift. I thought about what the water represents. I mean, you drink of this water, it'll be a well of water. Is that the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you what I think it is. If you go to chapter 7, that wells of water out of the belly, that speaks of the Holy Spirit. But I think in our text today, I think Jesus is talking about himself. I think we have to have the Lord on the inside if we're going to heaven. Is that not right? You know that's right. He is the living water. And my, there's a lot of things water represents. Still water represents the Word and moving water, the Holy Spirit. But really living water, you have to have, you have to partake of Christ if you're going to go to heaven. That's just the bottom line. Jesus is saying, I'm the gift and I'm the giver. And if you get to heaven, you're going to have to accept the gift from the giver, or you're going to miss out. Amen. You say, I can't live it. No, you can't. Nobody else can. But God, the Holy Spirit living in us, helps us live it after we are saved. We still mess up, but God, the Holy Spirit in Christ, both our intercessors, when we sin, we can go to him, confess our sins, and he'll restore our fellowship with him. Well, you need God's what I'm trying to say. You need the Lord. Sinner, is there anything in you that says to you, I need to be saved? Is there anything that says, Is there any feelings in you that says, I'm sick of this life? I'm sick of the guilt. I'm sick of sin controlling me and me turning over a new leaf and then doing the same thing again and again and again. I wonder, sinner, what I'm trying to ask you this morning, is there a want to? I think that's what Jesus is getting at with this woman. He's going to get her to the place where she has to say, either I want it or I don't want it. I think that's where you have to get to when you get saved. I preach an experience when I say this and not the Word of God, but the night I got saved, I wanted to be saved. I don't think anybody will be saved who doesn't want to be saved. I just don't see that. And so Jesus is telling her, if you just knew, if you knew me and you knew what I can do for you, you would have asked me for a drink of water. You would have asked me, let me put it in simpler terms, you would have asked me to do what I can do for you. Sinner, would you like to be saved? I think that's a fair question. Would you like to be saved? I'm way ahead of my text. She doesn't say I want the water till a little later here. But really, that's where we're headed to. Let me read on just a little bit. Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now here's what she's doing. She's starting to question the matter. She's saying this, Can you really give me water? Can you really get me what you're saying? The well's deep. You don't have anything to draw it with. She's still physical. And here's what she's really doing. She's questioning whether he can do what he said he can do. And I just want to say to you, sinner, and I believe every saved person in this room would say this, what he says he can do, he can do. And he can do more than what he says. He can do more than what we could think. That is that scripture in Ephesians, isn't that right? Ephesians 3, I believe it is. Abundantly more than we can say or think. And that's what she's asking. Here's what you may be thinking, sinner. Are you really telling me right? Is he really the greatest thing that can ever happen in your life? Sinner, I'm telling you right. I'm telling you right. He is the greatest thing that can ever happen in your life. I don't know how to make that real to you. The Holy Ghost, I guess, will have to do that. But I'm telling you, the greatest thing in your life is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It will change your life. You'll be blessed. The Holy Ghost will move in. You'll get a clean conscience. We can start talking about all you get in Him. The Holy Ghost has love, joy, peace, and all them things people want. You can get that in Jesus. He said, I'm not even scratching the surface. I'm telling you, Jesus can save your soul from hell. He can give you a good life. He can bring happiness. I could go on and on. He can do it. He's able to. She's questioning. Now, really, you're saying you can give me a drink. You can give me a gift of God. You can give me to drink this water, this living water. She said, well, you don't even have anything to draw with. How in the world are you going to be able to gift me anything You don't have anything to draw with. And are you greater than Jacob? He's gave us this well and gave us this water. We've watered. We've got water for ourselves and water for our livestock all these years. Are you saying you're greater than him? And I tell you, he's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Abraham, Isaac. There's no one greater than Jesus. And he wants to save you. Jesus made a trip through Samaria and stopped at this well so he can do business with this woman. And if you're here today, he wants to save you. If you're here and God's speaking to your heart, he's trying to get your attention so he can save you. That's all what this whole story's about. When it's all said and done, Jesus is dealing with her so he can give her eternal life. Jesus' answer, he didn't say, I'm greater than Jacob. He didn't say, even though I don't have anything to draw with, I can still give you, I can give you water till you'll never thirst again. You see, there's two kinds of thirst. There's physical thirst and there's spiritual thirst. Spiritual thirst is manifested through many things. Discontentment. That's a manifestation of a spiritual thirst. Guiltiness. Dissatisfaction. Can't find any contentment anywhere. A lack of purpose of life. Really, what is life about if it's not about Jesus? What is it about? I mean, what if you make $1 million? Who cares? You're going to lay down and die and leave it? What if you could be the president? Or I'm trying to think of something high and lofty that you might think would be one of the greatest things in life. What does it matter? What is life all about? Is it just so you make money so you can eat? And then you go eat so you can go back and make money. And then you take that money and you buy food and you eat. And you go back and you work again. Is that what life's all about? I mean, what is life? Can I tell you why we're created? To glorify God. We're created to bring glory to him. My, when you meet the Savior, it gives you a purpose in life. It gives meaning to your life. Life is dead and empty and valueless outside of the Savior. Loneliness, despair, hopelessness, unhappiness, all. Those are all ailments of spiritual thirst. I don't know why. I have to be careful, I guess, what I say, but this world like it is, why would you even want to be here if it wasn't a better place? Is this what it's all about, just to get old and wear out and hobble along till you die? Is that all life is? My, in Christ, life is a joy. I know I'm doing a terrible job this morning trying to get across how good he is and why it's important, sinner. You have no hope outside of Christ. He gives us hope. I'm glad I've got hope. You know what I know? It's going to get better sooner or later. It ain't long, it's going to get better. It's bad, Brother Allen. Look around, it looks like, I mean, all this alcohol and all this sodomy, and now they're going to go after our children with this pedophilia and all these things. But can I tell you, it's going to get better in just a little while. I have a hope. You know why? I have a hope. Jesus. I accepted him. He dealt with my heart. And I said, yes, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I won't live for you. But when I escaped hell, I got hope of a better life after a while. Glory to his name. Glory. I'm glad. I'm glad there's hope in him. Sinner, you have hope in this hopeless world. Well, let me just read a little more. I know my time's come and gone. Sinner, I wish you'd just think about getting saved. He wants to save you so bad. And really, I'd like to see you get saved. I really would. This whole church would like to see you get saved. We've got a track that says God cares. It says hellbound, who cares? And it says God cares. Jesus cares. The church cares. The guy that wrote the track said, I care. But he said, the real question is, do you care? Do you want to be saved? Let me just read a little more and I'll close it out. I don't know how to close it out. I just wish if you was here today, I could get across to you how great and how wonderful and how precious it is to have Jesus in your life. Here's what it says in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water, that this is Jesus talking to the woman, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, I don't know why anybody think you could lose your salvation reading that verse. It said you'll never thirst. Never thirst. It doesn't say you might lose it and get thirsty again. It says you'll never thirst. I mean, man. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now let me just say this. We all are eternal creatures, sinner and saint alike. A million years from now, you'll still exist. But it'll be in the lake of fire or it'll be heaven. One of the two places. You'll still exist. You are an eternal creature. You'll have an eternal death or you'll have eternal life. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you everlasting life. You'll never lose it. Eternal life. You'll have it forever. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Here's what she said. That sounds like a good deal. I want it. She said, I want it. Some way she's got past her doubts whether he can give it or can't give it. She got past her doubts whether he's greater than Jacob. And she said this, I'd like that water. But Jesus said, wait a minute now. There's something else that's hindering you from eternal life. And here's what he said to her. He said, go call. Let me read it the way the Bible has it. Verse 16, go call thy husband and come hither. Go call thy husband. You know what he's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to deal with her sin issue. You see, sinner, you have to get sick of your sin. You have to turn. The Bible word is repent. You have to repent of your sins. You can't say, yeah, go ahead and save me, but I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep carousing. I'm going to keep committing fornication. I don't want to go to hell. Sign me up. But I'm going to keep doing all these things. You can't have that attitude. And be saved. You're not ready to be saved. if that's your attitude. You have to come to the place that you turn. How is it 1 Thessalonians, they turn from idols to God? Is that how that reads? You're shaking your head, yes, Brian, I guess that's right. You have to turn to God from your sins. I know a lot of people don't like that, and they struggle with that, but that's the Bible. Now, it doesn't mean you have to quit sinning, because you can't, but you have to turn from it. You have to have a mindset to quit if you could quit. You can't hold on to your sins and live the same, won't live the same old life. It just doesn't work that way. He said, go call your husband. And she didn't want to talk about her sins. She said, she told the truth, but she was deceitful. You can tell the truth and be deceitful. Now, the fact of the matter is, we're all sinners. That's right. I didn't get no amen on that, but that's right. You're a sinner. We even save people sin. So here he is, said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, that's right. You said it right. You don't have a husband. You had 5 husbands. The one you have now, the one you're with now, is not your husband. You see, he already knew. He knew. Sinner, he knows. You ain't hiding it from him. He knows. But he still won't save you. He still wanted to save her. He knew how sorry she had got, where she had got to in life. But he wanted to save her. He wants to save you, sinner. I don't know how to say it. I just have to pray the Holy Ghost will make that real in your life. You know this. Just take this with you. If you choose to refuse Christ today, just take this with you. You don't want him, but I'm telling you, he wants you. He wants to save you. He does not want you to go to hell. Here's this woman, and he's going to make her deal with her sins. He's going to make her face up to her sins. When he said that, she said, why, I perceive you're a prophet. She knew something was up. See, here's what I wonder, if God might be speaking to some sinner today. And the very fact that I'm preaching on salvation, you know God's after you. He wants you. And I've told you, and every saint in this room would tell you, it's the greatest thing. But I'm not out here to sell you. I'm not like a car salesman trying to put you in Jesus. It's your decision. If you want to say no, you say no to it. But you'll regret it throughout eternity. That's right. You're going to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever if you say no to Jesus. All the time, him wanting to save you, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Let me just make a long story short. I'm through. I've got to be through. Here's this woman, can I tell you, she got saved. She threw her water pot down. She run back to the town. She said, come see a man, told me all they ever done. Is not this the Christ? I think she put it in question form, but I think she's saying this is the Christ. Sinner, you can be saved today. Your past is no problem for Jesus. Fact of the matter, he come to seek and to save sinners. He didn't come for righteous, good people. Here's what the devil tell you. You need to do right before he'll save you. No, he'll save you and help you do right. That's how it works. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here just a child, and you know God's been dealing with your heart. Why don't you let us pray with you and talk to you? Maybe you're here, never been saved. And life, you just caught up in sin and, and life is just meaningless. Can I tell you, he can give you meaning. He can make life worthwhile. He can make it a joy. He can just make it a joy for you. Can I tell you, Senator, I'm pretty sure time's running out. Pretty sure. If you're going to get in, you better do it pretty quick. This thing's wrapping up. Here's how it is. There'll come a time that God will come to your heart. He'll start speaking. Not verbally or out loud, but in your heart, he'll begin to deal with you. That's him talking to you. Maybe this morning, he may have been talking to you while I've been preaching, saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. He'll start talking. That's him wanting to save you. And not based on what you did, but based on what he did. What did he do, preacher? He came to earth. Jesus came to earth as the God-man, the Son of God. He was robed in flesh like us. He lived a sinless life, never committed sin. But he took our sins upon him. The wages of sin is death. I'm convinced, physical and spiritual. The wages of sin is death. And he went to Calvary and died. I think he died physically. I think he died spiritually for you and I. He suffered our hell. For our sins, so we won't have to. He died. They buried him. And on the third day, he arose again victorious. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he can save to the uttermost everybody that will come to the Father by him. He wants to save you. And here's what you might say, preacher, I don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. You know what I said when I got saved? God saved me. God save me. Three words. Said it twice. Six words. God save me. God save me. And I said to you last time when I preached on John 3, I don't even know if I said it out loud. But can I say, it's not what you say. If that's the case, what do you call somebody who can't talk? A mute? Somebody who can't speak? Somebody who couldn't speak couldn't be saved. They wouldn't be able to pray out loud. It's what the heart said. I think these people being saved never said nothing because their heart was crying out to God. Do you want to be saved today? I sure have feel like I've done pitiful this morning trying to exalt the Savior, but I'm telling you, it's the best thing. It's the best thing. It's the best decision I ever made. The best decision I ever made. I think every child of God in this room would say that same thing if you talked to them. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come and in your own way, however you want to say it, would you place faith in what Jesus did, not what you did? Oh no, that won't get it done. But what he did, place faith in his work. He's paid for your sins. Accept his pardon and ask him to save you. Become your Savior today. Can I say, the Bible tells us, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I can say based on the authority of the Word of God, if you'll come to him, he will not cast you out, but he'll save you today. Let's bow our heads this morning. Sister Grace is coming to the piano, and she's just going to play just softly. I'm not going to come and twist your arm. I'm not going to try to force you. I'm not going to beg you. I'm just saying if you want to be saved, there's a Savior that'll save you today if you'll come to him while she plays.